Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Daryl and I went to Concord, where they had the Committee to Study Cryptocurrency had met for the first time this particular season. So they're supposed to meet once a year at least in order to study cryptocurrency and determine whether or not the state house needs to take some sort of action to either make laws or remove laws or whatever. And of course, this year, the state government actually deregulated cryptocurrency. It wasn't regulated a whole lot, but they had passed a few years ago, to much fanfare and, you know, much ballyhooing in the news media, especially in the Bitcoin world. They had passed a regulation that basically added Bitcoin to the money transmitter statutes, added cryptocurrency to the money transmitter statutes. And, you know, almost every state has these things. They're supposedly designed to, you know, keep money out of the hands of terrorists or drug dealers or something, as though that actually somehow stops them from getting money.
But yeah, because terrorists and drug dealers are really worried about New Hampshire's money transmitter laws.
Yeah. So anyway, this committee, they were the ones who came up with a proposal last year based on input from people like us. In fact, a lot of Free Talk Live hosts went to these committee hearings. You might have gone to one, Mark.
I did.
And we testified against further regulation of Bitcoin and testified in favor of deregulating Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. And you know what? They listened to us. When the government decides to not regulate something, ultimately, that's good news, as opposed to them choosing to regulate, choosing to, you know, get into something and start controlling businesses.
So it looks like Bitcoin Gold came out. It topped up at just over $500.
Wow.
Now it's trading somewhere down.
$2?
About $150.
$1.50.
$150.
Oh, $150. Okay. That's not bad.
Good. Yeah, but it kind of took Bitcoin down with it.
It took Bitcoin down.
Well, Bitcoin's been down all day.
Oh, that's why.
I mean, you could say it's, well, I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, yeah, you never know, right? When Bitcoin does one thing or another, you never know what the reason for it is.
Investopedia.com says Bitcoin price declines as Bitcoin Gold forks from main branch.
Bitcoin, however, declined more than Bitcoin Gold today, didn't it? Because if Bitcoin Gold's at $150, or you said it was $300 to start. I think Bitcoin went down like $300 today.
Yeah.
Am I wrong about that?
It went down some. I mean,
yeah.
You guys put me on to Bitcoin. I actually bought my first one early this year.
Oh, right on.
And I bought some Dash as well and made some really good money on it. So really happy you guys put me on to it. But I had one story I wanted to tell you and then a question I wanted to ask you is when I was first getting into Bitcoin and crypto, one thing I learned right really early on was to take it small at first and make sure things work before you send any kind of large amount of money.
Right.
Because I lost about $300 trying to send something through shapeshift.io. Mm. Maybe I didn't set up the wallet incorrectly. I was trying to buy some Ethereum.
Okay.
And totally lost my $300. It is literally in the ether somewhere. Damn. So, but anyway, I learned that lesson early on. You always want to test things before you send any sort of large amount of money.
Yep.
But,
that's true.
The question I did have for you guys is regarding the Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Gold. I bought Bitcoin prior to Bitcoin Cash splitting, so I have some Bitcoin Cash. I just don't know how to access it. I'm using the Jaxx.io wallet to hold my crypto, but I mean, they haven't put out any updates as far as when they're accepting Bitcoin Cash. So I didn't know if you guys could recommend something.
They're putting updates out every week on their progress on Bitcoin Cash. You're just not watching them on Twitter.
Bitcoin Gold website down following a denial of service attack. So I guess in the midst of the big switchover, the big fork. Yeah. Apparently they got hit.
A new site has popped up in World War Geek and promptly mowed down by machine gun fire.
Yeah, so we're going to keep an eye on the Bitcoin Gold thing. Johnson, you'd asked earlier, well, what is it? As I understand it, the proposal with Bitcoin Gold is to make it so the average computer with a graphics card can mine Bitcoin. So at some point, you could do this with Bitcoin, and
sure,
then
I roll my eyes at this. This is ridiculous.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't know whether it's a good idea or not, but that's what they're doing. And so the idea was back in the day with Bitcoin, your average computer could mine Bitcoin, but then at some point, and I don't know what the reason was for this, some point they decided to make these ASIC things the only thing that could mine. An ASIC is like a special chip or
something? I don't think that that's the case, if I may give you my understanding of it, and then you can critique that. At one point, you needed, you know, computers mined Bitcoin, right? And then they found that graphics cards mined Bitcoin better. So they'd set up these sort of banks of graphic cards.
Right.
And it was easy to get graphics cards back then. They weren't that much. Now, it's really difficult to get graphics cards because everybody's mining with the darn things.
I had heard that the Bitcoin Gold has what's called a pre-mine or some sort of pre-mining period to where it actually won't be something that... anybody but the founders can mine for a certain period of time, so they can give the, you know, get themselves rich.
I know is that each time my cassatious error coin keeps going up dramatically.
This is a physical Bitcoin that you're referring to that is kind of like a gimmick more than anything else, but they're worth quite a bit of money.
They're worth quite a bit of money, and now have three different cryptocurrencies embedded
in that
them.
One coin. That's correct. Getting access to it's a whole other story, but you can do it if you put enough time and effort into it. So for those that don't know, when Bitcoin forks into two different types of Bitcoin, or in this case it forked again into two types, so now there's three total, the person holding Bitcoin prior to the fork, in your case, Johnson, you have a Bitcoin on this physical thing, which is basically just a physical coin with a series of numbers on it.
It basically looks like a Chuck E. Cheese token, except it was outfitted for Bitcoin.
Right. So after the fork, you now have Bitcoin, and you have one Bitcoin Gold, one of these new Bitcoin Gold things. Now, getting access to the Bitcoin Gold is not going to be easy. The
title is, "This Pro-Abortion Fanatic Presented a Thought Experiment Destroying Pro-Lifers. Here are four reasons he fails dramatically."
Okay.
Four reasons a pro-abortion person fails to destroy pro-lifers.
Yes.
Okay.
On Tuesday morning, a pro-abortion Twitter thread went viral. The thread posited a thought experiment the author claimed to be original, though it has existed in one form or another for over a decade. I first became aware of the thought
experiment. I used it on air.
and I haven't read this, so I don't know what it is.
The terminology pro-abortion obviously shows where this person is, right? Because pro-life, pro-choice is what they would call themselves.
Yeah. Okay.
I first became aware of the thought experiment from Harvard philosopher Michael Sandel, who was arguing in favor of fetal stem cell research at the time. Here's the hypothetical, according to Patrick S. Tomlinson, a comic and author of the Ark trilogy. Tomlinson's scorn for the pro-life movement pours from his verbiage. Whenever abortion comes up, I have a question I've been asking for 10 years now of the Life Begins at Conception crowd. In 10 years, no one has ever answered it honestly.
All right.
A simple... I'll answer it honestly for you.
Yeah.
Because you're pro-life?
I my position's a bit nuanced, but I think that I fall into the pro-life camp, yeah.
But you wouldn't use the government to force your views
on
others?
Right, I think the government has been a poor arbiter of, what would constitute handling abortion up to this point.
I have an update with regard to State Rep Caleb Dyer in New Hampshire.
That's a Libertarian Party state representative. He was the first of three, actually, this year, three state reps. He's was a Republican originally. He was elected as a Republican. He changed to the Libertarian Party, setting off, I wouldn't call it an avalanche, but more so than in any other state, we now have three Libertarian Party representatives, one Democrat, one former Democrat, two former Republicans. He was the first of the three to make the flip. Anyway, just wanted to give our listeners a little background, because New Hampshire is the only state with any state representatives who are libertarians, and we got three of them. So go ahead.
Correct. But his primary relevance to this conversation is the fact that he is also an advocate of New Hampshire independence.
Yes.
So he has been looking into different options, you know, in terms of what kind of bill or amendment should be submitted. There was an original line of thinking that there would need to be a constitutional amendment in order to trigger any kind of referendum or anything that people could vote on. Then there was some thinking by Jason Sorens, the founder of the Free State Project, that basically, no, you don't. You could just have legislation that authorizes a non-binding referendum. That way you don't have to get 66% or whatever. Anyway, he's posted an update on his plans. And at first glance, to me, it looks like bad news. He was considering submitting a bill. Maybe he still is.
I think it's too late.
If you're talking about breaking the ties that bind New Hampshire to the United States Constitution, it should be more than just a simple majority. It should be something like a supermajority of some sort to do
60%?
That. 60%? I'd say 66 would be the way that I would do it.
Well, you could always tweak it. You could, in you could say the legislators could say, "Look, we're giving this to the voters, and we say that you know this is you can vote on it one way or another, but we are also advocating that there that the legislators not draft independence legislation unless it goes to 60%, you know, or 55% or what. It doesn't that way. We're not locked into 66%.
I would think that this would be the most effective way to sort of get, you know, to gauge the public and to get the news to the legislators. And you're going to need this, these non-binding resolutions more than one time in order to take the temperature over time. Yeah. You're not going to get all the information you need.
Well, I mean, obviously you would need it again if it didn't pass, but if it passed with 70% the first time, I wouldn't say you'd need it again.
I was wondering if you succeeded, would you still get any funding from the government because you're not there? People on Social Security, will they still receive their Social Security check?
That's a good question. If you're a Social Security recipient and you move out of the United States, do you continue to receive the Social Security check?
Yes.
Well, then I would suspect that you may still continue to receive it unless they specifically say, screw all you New Hampshire people. We're going to cut off everybody who still, you know, has an address in New Hampshire. If you want your Social Security, you got to leave New Hampshire. I doubt it seems unlikely they would do that. But then again, for, based on what Spain's been up to trying to keep Catalonia in Spain, they're willing to take desperate measures. That's for sure.
In a decade of arguing with anti-abortion people about the definition of human life, I have never gotten a single straight A or B answer to this question, and I never will. They will never answer honestly, because we all instinctively understand that the right answer is A. A
child.
Human child is worth more than 1,000 embryos, or 10,000, or 1,000,000, because they are not the same, not morally, not
absolutely.
Ethically, not biologically.
Seems crystal clear to me.
This question absolutely eviscerates their arguments, and their refusal to answer confirms that they know it to be true. Mm. No one anywhere actually believes an embryo is equivalent to a child. That person.
Notice how they never say. Yeah. Human embryo. Yeah. Now, every mammal, every being has an embryo,
yeah.
But they don't say human embryo because they don't want to call it a human life.
Because it's not. Going on.
Right. But a human embryo is not a human life. It's an interesting
bit
of semantics.
Just an embryo.
I mean, at the point of an embryo, it really kind of isn't. But
life
the person
there.
Does not exist. They're lying to you. They're lying to you to try and invoke an emotional response, paternal response, using false equivalency. No one believes life begins at conception. No one believes embryos are babies or children. Those who claim those who make that claim are trying to manipulate you so that they can control women.
I'm in construction, so I'm around a lot of construction people, and I have problems like convincing people that, you know, a lot of people think that Mexicans are a problem.
Oh, no.
That, you know, they just move over here, they take welfare, and that's all they do.
Well, that's ridiculous. That's if you work on a construction site, I would think that some of those folks would know that a lot of Mexicans are very hard workers.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Do you think that's why they don't like them, is because they're getting upstaged?
What the sense that I get is that they feel like they're getting whipped, and that the Mexicans aren't getting whipped.
Getting whipped as in the boss is treating the Mexicans better?
The taxes. They feel like...
Yeah, there's this email that goes around.
It's hard for me to convince them that the politicians are the real problem. The politicians are the ones that, you know, create all these taxes that they have to burden. Mm-hmm. And, people are just going to go where places where they're going to be economically, you know, better off. And, I mean, if that means taking welfare, I don't know. But they just think that they're the problem. And it's hard for me to convince them that the politicians are the ones that are creating these policies that create these incentives that...
Sure. Yeah, people just respond to incentives.
They feel exhausted that there's nothing they can do, so they just want to make sure everybody gets beat the same.
It's frustrating. I totally know where you're coming from. And when you've got that slave on slave situation, how do you break somebody out of that? How do you get somebody out of that paradigm of wanting to see other people get hurt and instead looking at those other people as like an example? Hey, boy, I wish I could be like them and also avoid getting whipped. Maybe I should look into ways that I could avoid getting whipped. But if they're beaten down and they're beaten down and beaten down, it's going to be hard to get them out of that paradigm. I mean, it's like old Harriet Tubman said, right? Supposedly, I freed 1,000 slaves. I could free 1,000 more if they only knew they were slaves. These people are slaves in their mind. They are slaves to the state and the system, and they believe the statement that you can't fight City Hall and you sure can't fight the federal government, right? Like, people believe that stuff, and for good reason, because in most cases, you really can't fight City Hall. They've got way more resources than you do. They've got all
kinds of full-time job to fight you.
Right. They got all kinds of attorneys.
It's a hobby now and then.
We left off. We were talking about the two embryos that are your own embryos versus the 5-year-old child. Would you then?
This was the rebuttal from the pro-life
guy. Yeah, this is one of the rebuttals. We're still in number one, which is moral instinct does not always mean correct moral decision making.
So the guy is suggesting that if it was your embryo versus saving a 5-year-old child, that he would save the embryo.
Let's just jump right past that. Let's say that it was your 5-year-old in the room, and next door were 1,000 actual full-grown human adults. Your instinct would probably be to save your 5-year-old. Mine would
probably
be. Does that make me right? Or are the 1,000 humans no longer human? Because you wouldn't save them, you'd save the child, your child?
Right. Who would say they're no longer human?
This would be my argument.
But this is how he's attacking that original.
The original statement was, okay, so, the abortion, anti-abortion argument rests on whether or not something's human, right? Killing something that is human without cause is murder, correct?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Okay, so by making this argument, this specious and stupid argument that this was all based on, was which would you save, a 5-year-old or 1,000 embryos? See, you take the 5-year-old, so 1,000 embryos must not be humans.
I don't think
it's
that's what they said. That was what the pro-life guy.
That's what was suggested.
The pro-life guy said that's what, he said, well, he didn't call them human embryos. He called them embryos.
No, I said that.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah. I don't think the argument should ever be based on whether this is a human life or not. The argument should be based on, a variety
of
other things.
It's a near valueless human life. How about that?
Yeah, but who gets to decide? I mean,
well, you do when you save the 5-year-old as opposed to the 1,000.
Excellent. Can I go out and eliminate
embryos.
All the people that I consider to be near valueless human lives?
Because no, of course not.
It's going to be the killing fields, Ian. I'm going to lay waste to everybody with an IQ less than 120.
Of course you can't do that because those people are not embryos. They are actual humans that are independent and they're able to live their own life.
So then the argument that they're a near valueless human life isn't a good argument. The argument that they are dependent on the mother is a better argument.
Let's get into some of the other issues here before we get too spun out here. So point number two in this is Tomlinson's thought experiment does not reveal the value of embryonic life. We can agree with Tomlinson that one ought to save the 5-year-old rather than the box of embryos and still not admit that embryonic life is meaningless. In fact, we can imagine scenarios where we choose the box precisely because we want to preserve human life. Here's he's got this link to this guy, Demar Gresham and Dieter Schoenaker at University Halle-Wittenberg in response to Sendell. You're in Tomlinson's thought experiment. The embryos will grow into human beings using artificial means, as in Tomlinson's thought experiment, but there are no other human beings. In fact, this is often the leading premise of science fiction.
You're going to deal with recriminations when you get down there and, somebody starts talking, right? You let a woman with cancer die in a burning building?
Well, I'm used to people critiquing me.
John Edwards.
Yeah.
So, whatever. I
just value her one day of life more than 1,000 fetuses.
Really? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Regardless of the potential, I see 1,000.
Who's going to take care of these fetuses? Are they going to be raised by the government to be killing machines?
Good point. We're getting into too many
Dolph
questions
Lundgren
here. These
here.
Are ridiculous examples, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. I mean, it's like, okay, you're talking about. you know, the 1,000 fertilized fetuses when you see them at the bottom of a pond and, you know, one of those groups of eggs that the frogs lay, you know, like.
Yes, but those aren't human fetuses.
No, they're
That's
not.
That's a difference.
Is it really, though? Because yes, they're fetuses.
Because when they grow up, they're frogs.
If they're sitting in a vat mixed together, all 1,000 of them, they're obviously not that important.
Well, if they were sitting in a vat mixed like together, you probably would
have understood the difference.
But who mixed frogs and human fetuses together?
No. I'm saying that the fetuses themselves are mixed together, like just randomly. Yeah, but Bobby and Stevie and George
at this
all
point,
just
float
together in a mess.
Let's go on.
Are they all from the same couple? I mean, what?
Let's go on.
What do you call 1,000 twins? I mean, it's, you know, I know it's like twins, then triplets, then quadruplets, and
the internet
quintuplets.
Has an answer for you.
You know, what's 1,000?
If the man is able to get the woman to agree, okay, I don't want this baby, says the woman. The man says, well, I want it, and I'm willing to pay for the artificial womb. I'm willing to pay for the operation to have the baby removed from you and put into the artificial womb. I'm willing to pay for all
I
these costs.
I think legally, in the future, it's possible that she won't even have a choice.
And well, that she may have be required to pay for half.
Right. Okay, but what I was saying was, is if the man is willing to pay, we don't know what the heck the future is going to look like here, right? So This is what I was trying to say, is if the man wanted to pay for everything and she was willing to go along with it, that's when you would have her sign the form saying, I, you know, relinquish all claim, legal claim to this child. That would be part of the deal of him paying for all of that stuff. If I were the guy in that case, that's what I would want signed. Otherwise, it'd be like, fine, abort the child then, because I don't want to have to fight with you over this forever. You sign that form right then, and then from that point on, she's got no claim to any kind of child support payments. That was the point I was trying to make.
Sure. You would really like the notion of just being the only parent and not having to get together and make decisions with somebody else.
I don't like the idea of being a parent at all. That's why I have a vasectomy.
I understand, but you would be preferable, right? Like, you wouldn't want to be tied to somebody.
Well, wait, hold on. You made an interesting argument there, but like I was talking about from the other side.
What do you mean?
I'm saying that it's also potential that if he's the one who's, you know, raising the child or whatever, that potentially she could be the one who's then forced into paying child support payments.
See? I say that since the world won't let me exterminate all the annoying, worthless human beings that are out there, then we shouldn't let anyone exterminate somebody because they're annoying or worthless or whatever the reason might be. That's my principled position, and it is unassailable.
I'm not sure why it's unassailable.
Because
we've been assailing it the entire time here.
And I've always kind of agreed with the position that he's taking there, in that I don't believe in exterminating the fetus. I believe taking it out of the womb and letting it, whatever happens, happens.
Toll-free number tonight, if you want to join us, 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733.
That's the thing that people don't want to talk about, pro-choice and the pro-choice and abortion, whatever, is that abortion is actually very humane. You're not letting the fetus that has been removed
die on its own.
Die of suffocation, you know, it's you know, ending that life in a way that's not, you know, even more horrific.
So Mark, you want the pro-lifers to step up and offer to take adoption of these fetuses and put them in the artificial wombs, and you're saying
that's a much better solution, and then it will show the commitment that people actually have to these unborn children.
Because wouldn't that be what would be required in the absence of using the state, right? Because some pro-lifers want to use the state to outlaw abortion, which of course is just going to drive it underground, make it more dangerous, make it more painful to the
lock doctors up, lock teenagers up. Let's just lock people up.
You'd called to ask me why I don't want to have kids. And man, I could just go on and on about all the reasons why. Not only all the annoyances of having babies and children around, and all the, you know, extra responsibilities loaded. I barely have time to take care of myself, let alone take care of some other thing that is dependent on me. But on top of that, then you've got all the drama from, you know, the mother who might want to try to wield the child like a political football or a weapon. Potential breakups, child custody battles. The child support and all that stuff, man, I've seen so many people have nightmares with the legal system and all that. I'd seen enough of that when I was younger, and I said, psh, get me that vasectomy. So anyway,
the doctor made you had to jump through special hoops to get a vasectomy at your age.
Because
right?
I was young. I mean, it wasn't any special hoops. It was just like, are you sure you want to do this? You know, you can't really reverse this. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, there is the other side of that. The other side is just such a it's wonderful beyond words. But
yeah, everybody says that, like, but, you know, whatever.
He just doesn't believe
you have different values.
I understood.
I think it's wonderful to have free time and things, doing things I want to be doing, not raising some other thing.
Well, I was going to make one point. If your life's work is this spreading the idea of liberty, the best and easiest way you could do that is by
starting a radio show.
Having your own children.
What I find funny is the argument for spreading the DNA is that 6 billion years of evolution failed finally at you.
Yeah, right.
Yep. On the end of the line.
You could have failed all along. I mean, there's, you know, the it happens. Lines die, and that's it.
I'm the end of the line. The Bernard family name. I mean, see you later.
What about the gay guys? They're not producing.
I have a sister, but, you know, if she gets married, she probably won't have the same last name again. So maybe the DNA will continue, but whatever.
Well, wouldn't have the same last name anyway, right? Because,
the last time you talked to the sister?
Oh, God, I don't know. Probably like a decade ago or something.
Yeah. Family, you can see, is important to Ian.
Yeah. Doesn't mean Jack to me. I mean, people, individuals mean something.
I probably stopped off and visited his mother more times than he has since he moved to New Hampshire.
It's probably true.
Yeah. She's a nice lady.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love my parents and everything, but I just I don't feel any obligation towards family. To me, they're just a group of strangers you're born into. Some of them are good and some of them not so good. I mean, my uncle was a crackhead, but luckily he never beat me or anything like that. So, you know, what can you do?
If what Ian's just said isn't an argument against having children, I don't know what is.
What, the crackhead uncle?
No, you saying family's just a bunch of strangers you were born into.
Yeah. Well, isn't it true?
Your kid could turn out like Ian.
Some families are abusive towards their kids.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at Free Talk Live. .com